Good morning, and thank you for listening to the radio program, which is brought to you by Christians who meet at Main Street Church of Christ, located at 240 West Main Street in downtown Mount Sterling, Kentucky. On Sunday mornings, we meet at 10 a.m., and we have a Bible study. After that Bible study, we have about a 15-minute break, and then we get together to worship until noon. Sunday evenings, we meet at 6 p.m., and we have a worship service. And the first Sunday of each month, we have a song night, and you're welcome to come to that as well if you enjoy singing. Wednesday evenings, we meet at 7 p.m., and we have a Bible study, which is much like a follow-up study to our Sunday morning. So those two services go very well together. You're welcome to come to that Bible study. It's just an hour on Wednesday evenings. We'd love to have you. You can also check us out online at www.mtsterlingchurch.com, or you can email us at mtsterlingchurch@icloud.com, or you can just give me a phone call. My personal phone number is area code 859-432-0369. I'd love to hear from you if you have questions about the Bible, if you've heard something on the radio program you want to talk about, or if you want to be on the radio program. Just give me a call, 859-432-0369. This morning I want to read you a little bit from Galatians chapter 6. We've spoken so far about how Paul was dealing with a heavy problem of Jewish Christians who clung to the old law, and they clung to Moses' law so hard that they felt that it made them somehow superior to Gentile Christians. And you can imagine in that kind of an environment where there is a scale sort of between brethren, you know, one might be better than the other or worse than the other or something like that, that once in a while they might offend each other or catch each other in sin or maybe get caught in sin or maybe just confessing sin to each other, have sin like that revealed. And you can also imagine that if pride is such an issue at a place where that's happening, that when someone catches someone in sin or finds out about a sin or confesses a sin, poor decision making could certainly occur. This was a problem that was prevalent in early churches and churches today, so much so that in almost every one of Paul's letters, the problem of pride is addressed, and this is part of why. I think especially in his letters to the Romans, of course the first letter to Corinthians, you know, in Galatians here we see this sin come up. It was so problematic that at times Paul had to remind them that everyone is part of the same body, and just as no part of your body can look at another part of your body and say, hey, I'm better than you, and just like no part of your body can get diseased and then have another part of your body to say, hey, let's cut that off, it will be better for it if we don't have that part, you know. You can't do that with your body. The best outcome for your body is that it remains together with all its parts whole. If one part gets diseased, your heart pumps more blood to it, your immune system amps up, your mind, without even knowing it, starts working to heal that part of your body. And you certainly don't voluntarily remove parts just to try to improve your situation. We understand that the body needs to remain together and remain whole, and that's the best outcome. And so in chapter 6, Paul writes about some of these things. Brothers and sisters, he says, if someone is caught in a sin, you who live by the Spirit should restore that person gently. I love that Paul opens with this phrase about sin. Brothers, if anyone is caught in a transgression, I think the ESV that I like to read from says this, you know, if anyone is caught in a transgression, you who are spiritual should restore him in a spirit of gentleness. Paul was addressing this congregation as a whole, and he was saying, if someone is caught in a sin, a lot of times when someone is caught in a sin is when gentleness goes out the door. And I think part of that is kind of just natural. I think that the shock of catching someone that you might have believed to be an example of uprightness or something, doing something that is not upright, it's a big shock. But we tend to not be gentle. Sometimes we pretend we didn't see it or it didn't happen, we cover it up. Other times we react so aggressively that we actually wind up chasing them away and getting them even further from repentance. And so Paul recommended a spirit of gentleness. He says as well, though, in verse 1, correct or restore them in a spirit of gentleness, keep watch on yourself, lest you too be tempted. Now we're going to talk in just a minute about what specific temptation he was warning them about, but I think it's worthwhile to take a minute just to notice that we can actually be wrong when we are right, telling other people that they are wrong. You know, this verse sets up like a brother who catches another brother in a sin, and goes to them and he says, you need to correct them in the spirit of gentleness, because sometimes we correct each other wrongly. And the brother who caught the brother might at first at least have what we would consider moral high ground. You know, I caught you in this sin. I know that what you're doing is wrong. You know that what you're doing is wrong. But sometimes we can correct each other in a manner that makes us wrong as well. He warns against temptation, lest you too be tempted. Now, you might wonder what might happen that would cause someone to correct someone else in a manner that is sinful. Look at verse 2. Bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one test his own work, and then his reason to boast in himself alone, his reason to boast will be in himself alone and not in his neighbor, for each will have to bear his own load. Now some have looked at this and said, how can he say in verse 2, bear one another's burdens, and then in verse 5, each will have to bear his own load? It's a little bit backwards, but the reason we bear each other's burdens is because we each do have to bear our own load. Bearing each other's burdens does not mean that when we get to judgment, God will divvy our sin among our brethren. You know, our sin will be our guilt. We will bear the load of that sin. But bearing each other's burdens means that while we're here on earth, we help each other through the burden. And because we help each other through the burden, we come out with this image of Christ-likeness. That's why he says, bear one another's burdens, and so fulfill the law of Christ. You know, while we're here, we find each other in sin, or we confess sin to each other, which is something we should probably do more often. When we apologize to each other for sin or for hurting each other, we help each other get past it, help each other move on, put it behind. And the thing that gets in the way is in verse 3, pride. For if anyone thinks he is something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. I love that he talks about pride right next to mentioning the law of Christ. Because if anyone in all history had the right to be proud, it would certainly be Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who descended from heaven to save the world from sin. And yet he humbled himself, came down to this world, bore the burdens of our sin. You want to talk about bearing each other's burdens. He was murdered grotesquely and miserably, hung on a cross, and then rose to ascend back to heaven, inviting us to come with him. In that kind of example, what sort of high ground could any of us have over the other? How many years must I have been a Christian before I am a better Christian than someone else? How many generations of Christianity must be in my family before I'm a better Christian than someone else? The answer to that is an eternal number of years. Christ is still Christ, the example of Christianity, and he, though being the only one with the right to boast, humbled himself to the point of death. So whatever the number is that answers those questions, it's got to be more than Christ. He is still the Savior in eternity. So it's important, I think, for us to remember humility. It's important for us to remember that when we find each other in sin, we correct it with gentleness. When we sin, we need to confess to each other and have that benefit, that aid of having our burdens borne with us, and we need to bear burdens with others. We need to be humble. We need to remember to apologize and sincerely change things when we've hurt someone, and to move on and help each other move on. Let's pray. Father in heaven, thank you for the example of your Son who shows us how to be humble. We pray that as we live these lives, we will glorify you and we will live in his image, one day to join you in eternity in his image. In your Son's name we pray. Amen.